Good morning. My pleasure to welcome you to our service this morning. I want to start out by apologizing to all those folks on this side of the gym. That projector's not working this morning, so you might have to look to your left or look to the back or during the welcome song, move over to this side. I don't know. But we got a little problem with that one. I don't know what the problem is, but couldn't get it to work this morning. So at least we have one in the back and one in the front working. So we'll get through that. Just appreciate your understanding and patience with that. Good to see everyone this morning. We're going to ask that you stand with us as we sing, "Blessed be the name of the Lord," and there's something about that name.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Jesus, the name that charms our fears. Blessed be the name of the Lord. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I never shall forget that day. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When Jesus washed my sins away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Welcome everyone here to our service this morning. Greet each other as we sing, "There's Something About That Name."
Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name.
Thank you, worship team, and thank you for being here today. We welcome you to our Sunday morning service here at Blatiron. We also welcome those who are watching by Facebook and YouTube, and those who listen by web radio. We welcome you to our morning service today. It's good to see you here today. I'll be preaching today from the book of Habakkuk in the Old Testament. What's going to make you happy is if you're sitting by someone who knows where that book is, you're in good shape this morning. So anyway, I tell you it's after Nahum, but I don't know that that's going to help much either. But it's one of those books, you know, one of those small books in the Bible. But we'll be talking about Habakkuk today. So the title of today's message is "God, I've Got a Question." And we'll be talking about the confusion that Habakkuk was struggling with. So we'll be talking about that a little bit later. Again, we're glad that you're here. May we pray together. Lord, we thank you for the day, and we thank you for this time that you've given us to be here. We just thank you for a day of worship that we can come together and honor you and worship you because you are worthy of our worship. And that's what we want to do today. We want to worship you because you are worthy. We pray today that we would honor you in all that we do today in our time of worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Just make note of the announcements in your bulletin. One of the main ones is our annual, it's not really trunk or treat because we don't do trunks in the gym here. So it's still going to be on October 31st. And there's a sign-up sheet out in the foyer if you'd like to set up a table or a booth or something here to hand out candy on Monday, October 31st. Please sign up for that. There's other announcements there in your bulletin to take note of. Just make sure that you look at those that pertain to you. We're going to ask that you continue to help us with our hymns this morning. He hideth my soul, and I must tell Jesus. You join as we sing this morning.
Cannot bear these burdens.
distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask Him, He will deliver, make up my troubles quickly and end. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and He will help me over the world, the victory to win. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone.
I ask that you continue joining with us this morning as we sing The Lion and the Lamb. We're going to ask you to stand on this first song, and you can sit on the second one. If you stand with us, please, The Lion and the Lamb, join in with us.
Coming on the clouds, kings and kingdoms will bow down. Every chain will break as broken hearts declare His praise. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is a lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain. For the sins of the world, His blood breaks the chains. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before. Open up the gates and quake before the King of Kings. The God who comes to save is here to set the captives free. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain. For the sins of the world, His blood breaks the chains. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow. Stop the Lord Almighty. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? 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 Who can stop the Lord? Our God is a lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before Him. The Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world, His blood breaks the chains. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before Him.
Join in with us as we sing The Living Hope. Jesus Christ is our living hope.
How great the chasm that lay between us. High the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke Your name into the night. Then through the darkness Your loving kindness tore through the shadows of soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has broken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me His own. Savior, I'm Yours forever, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the One who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in Your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the One who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in Your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. In sealed the promise. Your very body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your very body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. God, you are my living hope.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that the death on the cross of your Son, Jesus Christ, gave us the hope of heaven. We thank you for the death that was paid for our sin and salvation. We thank you for the love for us. Thank you for the love that held your Son to the cross. God, we ask that you forgive us where we failed you, and I pray, God, that you would help us to be Christ-like in all that we say and do, and open our hearts now to receive your word. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, worship team. I want to begin in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 1, and I want to read three verses, and then we'll get going with this message today. The burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry? How long do I have to pray and you not hear me or not answer the prayer? That's what his struggle is. How long shall I cry? And it became a burden to him. This was something that was on his heart and mind. It kept him up at night. It just got him in a bad place. Oh, Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear, even cry out to you? Violence and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering, violence are before me. There is strife and contention. There is strife and contention arises. Notice there how many times he uses the word violence. He uses it twice. He's talking about violence, iniquity, trouble, plundering. That's pretty much characteristic of our day. So it was a day of a lot of stuff going on in Judah. And Habakkuk had some questions. Now, if you're like most of us, from time to time, you probably have some questions. And we struggle with those questions at times. Why do I have to go through what I go through? Why am I having this trouble? What about this situation? Or how come this person has cancer and this person doesn't? Why did Hurricane Ian, hit Port Dead and miss other people? Those are questions we have. It could be about physical health. It could be about natural disasters. It could be about things that we were praying about. It could be about trouble, whatever it is. That's where Habakkuk is. And so it became a burden to him. It's something that he's really, really struggling with. And so he's wondering about these things. Now, what he's doing here is he's having some doubts. And I think we all at times may have doubts. Now, doubt is different than unbelief. If you remember in the New Testament, one of the greatest disciples, apostles who ever lived was Thomas. And Thomas had his doubt. But that same Thomas is the one who made the greatest confession that you find in the New Testament, "My Lord and my God." So he was a believer, but yet he had doubts. Habakkuk was a believer, but he's struggling here. He's trying to figure out what all this is. And so there is a difference between doubt and unbelief. Doubt is kind of uncertainty. Doubt is confusion. Doubt is not really knowing why things are going on like they are and so forth. Unbelief is just saying, "God, I don't believe. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in prayer. I don't, just not believing in God." So there is a difference. But as we look at Habakkuk, what we discover is that all that he was going through, his questions, his doubts, his frustration, all of that led him to a place where his faith really became deeper and his faith became stronger in God. And what we learn from Habakkuk is this: if we will do that, if we will handle doubt and questions and our frustrations in the right way, it certainly will make us stronger. And it will draw us closer to the Lord. So that's how he deals with this here. So if we have doubt, then we need to deal with it in a proper way. And the proper way to deal with doubt and questions and all the stuff we struggle with is faith. Now, he's going to circle back around to get to that. And we'll see that as we look at this book in the next couple of weeks. But it takes him a little bit to get there, okay? Like all of us. So none of us can avoid the difficult questions. But the problem is this, it's going to be, sometimes the answer may not be there for us. Sometimes we may still struggle. Did some references on this because I do understand and I believe that some of the working of God is mysterious. It really is. There's some things that I don't know that we'll have an answer for or ever have an answer for. But in Deuteronomy 29, here's what the Bible says about that, that the secret things belong to God. So there are those secret things that maybe we don't understand where God is working, God is doing, God is active, but we don't understand it. So what we need to do, though, is to honestly talk with God. And that's what Habakkuk is doing here. What sets Habakkuk apart from these other Old Testament books that we find in this section is this. It's not a message where a prophet is standing and preaching judgment to the people. Not doing that. But what separates this book from the rest of them is this. What you have in this book is a dialogue. Here's a man who has a dialogue with God. And he's talking with God. And he says, "God, I've got some questions here. And I need some answers to some of these questions." Now, what does that teach us about God? Well, God's not afraid of our doubts. God's not afraid of our questions. God's not afraid of our confusion. God wants us to talk to him. And so that's what he does. And so he brings this burden. This thing that's keeping him up at night, this thing that he doesn't have an answer for, he brings it to God. The word Habakkuk, you know what his name means? It means to embrace. He's going to embrace God in faith. He's going to embrace God in this situation that he's going through, and there is where he finds the answer to it. So as you look at this, I want you to understand from Habakkuk, basically what the book is about is this. It's about three prayers that he prayed, and it's about two answers that God gave him in this book. So we'll see that in this book as we move along in a couple of weeks. Now, it's not a sin to doubt. It's not. It's not a sin to have questions. It's not a sin to struggle with those things. But like I said, we need to handle it in the right way. So one of the key takeaways here this morning is this. When we don't understand what God's doing, we need to remember who God is. When we don't understand why things are going on like they're going on, then we need to remember who God is. Here's a man who's drowning. I mean, you talk about being in a swamp, and you talk about going down deeper and deeper and deeper in despair and discouragement, frustration. That's Habakkuk. But he did the right thing. What he did in his struggle was this. He quit looking at the problems. And he wasn't focusing on the problems. But what he circled back around to was this. What he knew about God. And folks, that's how we make it with the questions of life. That's how we move through doubts. That's how we handle the seemingly unanswered prayers. That's how we deal with the suffering of life, the evil in life, and all that stuff is we just have to come back to what we know about God. So here's some things we need to remember. Number one is this. When you think that God is not listening, He is. So that's the first point that we'll talk about. God is listening. Habakkuk had been praying about something for a long time. And he'd been praying about, you know, this situation that was going on in Judah. Now, he prayed about it. He thought God was indifferent. I don't know if you've ever felt that way or not in your prayers. Another thing was he really struggled with the inaction of God. God, why don't you do something about this? How long shall I cry? Verse 2. I cry out to you. Why don't you do something about the violence? Why don't you do something about the iniquity? Why don't you do something about all this trouble that we're going through? Why don't you do something about the plundering? And so he perceived it to be God just not being active in the situation. Now, usually at this point when we're struggling, we'll probably get advice that goes two ways. One piece of advice we'll probably get is this, you know, don't question God. Well, when it comes to that, we understand that it's not wrong to question God because that's what Habakkuk is doing here. But it comes down to the attitude of the question. You know, it's our attitude. God wants us to talk to Him. And if you have questions, you need to ask God about those questions. So that's not what we're doing here. It's not a wrong thing. But the other advice is, where people say, well, just don't believe in God. God's not going to hear your prayer anyway. Why even do you try? Walk away from your faith and give up on God. And, you know, God's not real. So that's another piece of advice we usually get, but it's, you know, that's not the way to go either. So there are going to be times when we struggle. And we're going to have a crisis of faith, but what we need to do is do what Habakkuk did, that is talk to God. You may think God doesn't hear your prayer, but I'm here to tell you this morning, God answers prayer. And God hears every prayer. God answers every prayer. So we need to remember this about God. When we think God's not listening, He is. Now, Habakkuk thought that God wasn't listening to his prayer, but what God's going to remind Habakkuk of is this, Habakkuk, I heard your prayer. So that's the second thing we need to remember about God. But I don't think that God has a plan. He does. God has a plan when I don't think He does. Now, like I said, He doesn't answer Habakkuk's prayer in the way that Habakkuk wanted him to answer the prayer. And at times, that's what we struggle with, too. You know, we pray about something, and sometimes God answers the prayer, and we don't even recognize it. Sometimes the prayer is answered in a way that we want it to be answered, but sometimes the prayer is answered in a way that is totally different than the way that we're praying the prayer. So it may be that at times, but in verses 5 through 11, God tells Habakkuk here how he's going to answer the prayer. And so what he's going to do is send Babylon in, and the army of Babylon, and they're going to pour out judgment on Judah. So he said, what I'm going to do, Habakkuk, in verse 5, look among the nations and watch, be early astounded. For I will work a work in your days in which you would not believe, though it were told you. And verse 6 is what he's going to do. For indeed, I am rising up the Chaldeans. So what God told Habakkuk here is this. He says, I've been working on this thing for a long time. This plan has been, you know, in my mind for a long time about what I'm going to do and how I'm going to handle this situation. I'm going to deal with the plundering. I'm going to deal with the violence. I'm going to deal with the iniquity. I'm going to deal with all of that, but it's going to be in a way that you didn't expect. So he's going to answer the prayer. God's going to answer the prayer, but it's going to be entirely different. And God told him the reason. He said, the reason I haven't told you before, Habakkuk, is because, first of all, if I told you, you wouldn't have believed it. He said, I'm going to work in your days in which you would not believe. Have you ever had an answer to prayer like that? I mean, God worked in a way where you wouldn't believe it if he told you. And so he says, even if I told you, you wouldn't believe. Why? Because he wouldn't understand it. And there is a mystery in some of the workings of God that we don't understand. But I do believe this, God knows what's best. And we can trust him. And we can put our faith and trust in him. And that's where Habakkuk comes to. And he gets back to that, but he's having a struggle here. Now, when you get to the end of the book, you see his faith, and you see how his faith was strengthened and all that. But here we see the struggle that he's in. So there's a lesson here to learn. There's principles here to learn when we're struggling with God. But here's what we need to learn, is that we don't ever judge God by what we think that we would do or how we would answer the prayer. You know why? Because we're not God. And whatever answer God sends, and however God works it out, then that's what we trust, because God knows what's best. That's where Habakkuk had to come to. Now, he didn't understand it, and he said, surely not the Chaldeans, because all Babylon did was, you know, they destroyed. They were about destruction. They were about destroying things. They were very vicious. If you know, Al-Qaeda couldn't hold a light to this group here. I mean, these were very wicked people, very violent people. You can read about it all through the Bible. Now, God did send the judgment to Judah about 586 B.C. But I'll tell you what else happened in history. In about 530 B.C., a little bit later, God sent the Medes and the Persians in to take care of the Babylonians. So God's in control. God's working in this situation. But we can't judge things by the way that we think that they need to be or worked out or what the answer is going to be, because we're not God. And then the third thing to remember is this, that when I think that things are out of control, they're not, because God has a plan. You see, in this story, God sent what they needed, not what they wanted. You see, sometimes what happens is that the things that happen and the things we go through and all that and the struggles we have, sometimes it is for correction. Sometimes God wants to change us. And the Bible calls that repentance. That's what repentance is. It's a change of mind about how we look at a situation. It's a change of mind about how we look at God and think about God. Sometimes it's that. Sometimes what God wants us to do is take our focus off of everything here and to have a different focus on eternity. You know, it could be that. Sometimes he has a different idea about, you know, what he wants to do, but we know that God is, you know, he's got a reason for it. So when we don't understand what God's doing, we need to remember this. We need to remember who God is. And see, Habakkuk's going to do that. And I'm telling you, folks, this is where he found the solid ground. I mean, here's a guy that's really struggling. And I hope this helps you too, because it's helped me to understand this and know this. We've got to come back to what we know about God. We may not understand the situation. We may struggle with it. We may be like Habakkuk. We may have all these questions about why, God, don't you do this or that. But where he found his footing was when he came back to say, okay, here's what I know about God. Look at verse 12. Are you not from everlasting? Do you know what he's saying? God, you're eternal. You're eternal God. You know what that means? God knows everything. God never had a beginning. God never has an end. God knew everything about the situation right here that Habakkuk was going through. He knows about your situation. He knows about my situation. So he's everlasting God. He is eternal. And so we know that about God. Now, since God is eternal, he knows the outcome, the beginning from the end and all that, then we can trust him and put our faith in him. Verse 12 again, O Lord. Lord, there's the name of God, Yahweh. It's transliterated Jehovah. That's Yahweh, Jehovah. That means he is the self-existing one. That is the name of God when he appeared to Moses. And Moses said, when I go to Pharaoh, who do I need to tell Pharaoh has sent me? And he said, I am that I am. You know what that means? That means God is sovereign. That God has all power. That God is in control. When we think that things are out of control, they're in his control. So look at his encouragement. I mean, this guy's getting his footing now. He's getting back on solid ground. I know that you're eternal. I know that you are sovereign. And then he says, my Holy One, I know that you are holy. That means when you think about the holiness of God, you need to think about it this way. God is pure. In other words, God never makes a mistake. God never does anything that's wrong. And so he gets his footing here. And folks, I just want to tell you, right here is where we find our foundation. This is our footing for troubled times. This is our footing for, you know, when we go through the struggles, when we have the questions, when we deal with all those things, is just to simply come back to know what we know about God and to put our faith and trust in him. When it doesn't make sense, we put our faith and trust in him. He carried his problems to God, Habakkuk did, this burden that he had. And that's exactly what we need to do. He carried it to God, and he said, okay, God, here's what I need to talk to you about. God, I just want to be honest with you. And he did that, and that's what we need to do. Like I said, sometimes these things push us to our knees, and we cry out to God. We pray to God, and so it does. It gets us closer to him. It gives us more patience. It helps us to put our eyes on eternity when we go through these things in life. Now, what happens in the book here is this. God's going to take care of the questions in his way. In chapter 1, God, why don't you know, how come you're allowing all this sin to go on? All this violence, all the plundering, all this stuff. You know, why don't you judge us? Okay, God. God says, I'm going to take care of that. And he does. And then he deals with the injustices in life. And there are injustices in life. And he has a question about that. why does this guy who, you know, why does this happen to this guy? And seemingly he doesn't believe in you and he's not a believer and all that. And then this bad thing happens to a believer. I mean, that's the injustices of life that he's struggling with here. But I want to remind you of this as we bring this together. One of the greatest injustices in life is seen at the cross. At the cross, here what we see. We see the most evil thing that was ever done to any person. We see where injustice was carried out on a Savior who knew no sin. A Savior who was accused of things that he didn't do and all that. What a great injustice that was. But you know what God did with that? God took the greatest injustice in the world and he brought good out of it. Because of what Jesus endured on the cross for us, we can have salvation. We can have forgiveness of sin. We can have eternal life because of that. So what God did was to take something very bad and he turned it around for something good to us. And that's what you're going to see in the book of Habakkuk. And that's basically the ending of the book. But really, that's where it came to. When those disciples came to the cross of Jesus, they didn't understand. They had their questions. You know, when Jesus was crucified and he was put in the tomb, you remember the two walking on the road to Emmaus? You know what they said? The question they struggled with was this. They said, hey, we thought he was the Savior. We thought he was the Messiah. We thought he was the one who was going to deliver us and bring salvation to us. But then Sunday came. And all the questions were answered through the resurrection. And on Sunday, all the doubts were gone. Why? Because he rose again from the dead. You see, God has a plan. God is listening when we don't think he's listening. God is there when we don't think he's there. God is active when we don't think he's active. God is in control. He has a plan. You know, all that is working out. But what we need to do is trust him and put our faith in him. When we don't understand, when we struggle, when we have those questions, we just bring them to the foot of the cross and leave them there. Habakkuk said, God, I've got a question. God said, Habakkuk, I've got an answer for you. So we put our faith and trust in him. Let's stand for our prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word. And we thank you, Lord, for the way that you help us in life. Father, we know that you're eternal. We know that you're sovereign. We know that you're holy. And God, that's the foundation we can build our life on. When we have questions, when we have doubts, when we have struggles in life, Lord, you want us to talk to you. And that's exactly what Habakkuk did. He just talked to you. And he poured his heart out to you. So, Lord, help us to do that today. Father, I pray today for those who need to establish a spiritual base in their life. Those who need to trust in Jesus Christ as personal Savior. I pray that they would make that commitment today. Father, help us now in this invitation time to be obedient to your will and be surrendered to you and what you want to do in our lives today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Just as I am without one plea, would that thy blood was shed.
appreciate you being here today, and I just want to, you know, remind you, just remember who God is. You can trust that He is eternal God. You can trust in His sovereignty, and you can trust that He's holy God. And that's our foundation, folks. I mean, that is the foundation that will get us through life, is when we just remember God, who He is, and His character. So just take those thoughts this week, okay? God bless you. Praise team will come, and they'll dismiss us in our closing chorus.
We'll close this morning with "We'll Understand It By and By."
Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. But He guides us with His eye, and we'll follow till we die. We will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we've overcome. We will understand it better by and by.
Thank you. You're dismissed.